Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
There are numerous novels, songs, and movies about unrequited love, perhaps because all of us may have at one time or another been disappointed or hurt by not having love returned. We identify so deeply with these stories. We may wonder why the other party just did not see the purity of our affection and their heart reply back. But the truth be told, God pours out His great love to mankind daily, and we often are slow in returning love's response. In the epistle to the Corinthians, Paul had been working with the church there at Corinth on a number of different issues. Some of the believing ones had done things that worked ill toward their neighbor and ultimately brought disrepute to the family of God in general. So by revelation, Paul wrote to the Corinthians a letter of reproof as a congregation. They received the reproof, repented, and as they were getting their spiritual feedback under them, Paul wrote a second epistle to the Corinthians to confirm his love to them and to further encourage them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 12, it says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle, that same letter, hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season or a short period of time. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." When the believing ones at Corinth realized how badly in error regarding the grace of God they were, their hearts were broken, and they were ashamed. Paul, having spoken the will of God, successfully drew their attention to the wrong. Their conduct toward each other had become very unloving, and some were involved in such things that were degrading to the family of God there as well as other places. So they made up their minds to reorder their lives and conduct to be an honor to God and to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as ones who are called and beloved of God. Paul demonstrated a great deal of love in restoring the church, yet he was very firm in his desire to correct them so they could return to the proper spiritual stature. You know, I've heard people say concerning others, "I really put him in his place." Well, I trust that place was on the Word of God like Paul did, enabling them to recover themselves as one who God has seated in the heavenlies and one who is beloved of God, because surely that's their place. He goes on to say, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." They didn't have to get saved all over again, but they did need to be made whole. "But the sorrow of the world worketh death." The grief or sorrow of the world makes people morose, where some may respond by hiding away or just wanting to die. Godly grief or godly sorrow makes a person determined to change and live correctly. One, worldly sorrow, makes you wish you were dead, but the other makes you come alive because you want to make a change. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6, it states, "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I once saw this verse rendered as being totally prepared for a second opportunity to succeed after a previous defeat. With God, there's always a road back. We cannot fall so far from the everlasting arms of God that He cannot reach us and set us back upon our high places in Christ Jesus. If God can so love us, couldn't we demonstrate love's response by returning His love? not only to him, but also in showing it to the brethren? Shouldn't our conduct be as becomes one who is beloved of God? Let's go back to chapter 7 and in verse 11, where it says, "For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness or what a diligent effort it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Boy, they really got on it. They confessed their error and worked diligently to separate themselves from the error of their broken fellowship with God and the hurtfulness that they had caused to the brethren. At one point, I had taken on a new assignment and received greater responsibility. In my zeal to get things done the way I wanted, I found ways to sort of skirt the system, go around departments, and even hold up others' work so I could push mine forward. Well, very quickly, I gained a reputation for being uncooperative. Once I was confronted by my overseers, I was embarrassed at myself. I accepted my new position with the intent to be solving problems, but in effect, I was actually compounding them. And I greatly desired to disconnect myself from this newly found notoriety and erase my name from any association with being uncooperative. So I learned every flow chart, every chain of command, every order of business. And with time, my name became linked to one who not only gets my job done, but can be counted on helping others achieve. In verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." God even had Paul dispatch Titus, a beloved brother, to Corinth. You know, when I read these records of Titus and Timothy, they're kind of what I call the hallmark sections of the word, where you care enough to send the very best. Well, Paul sent Titus to Corinth to encourage and help the believing ones recover themselves out of the snare of the devil and repair their stature in the family of God, in spite of their sins. Paul, on their behalf, spoke great compliments as to their character to Titus. Let's pick it up in verse 14, where it says, "For if I boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even our boastings which I made before Titus is found the truth." Paul's boasting to Titus really bore out. The Corinthians responded immediately. "And his inward affection is more abundantly toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how that with fear or great respect and trembling of great awe you received him." Now, the Corinthians had one more thing to do on their way to regaining their wholeness. As we've read, they quickly changed their thoughts, their speech, and their conduct, but they still had one more thing, one more act to love's response. Paul informed them of the churches in Macedonia who endured a similar temptation and search for the purity of their own hearts. They committed themselves to God and sent a generous love offering, requesting that these men would come and help them learn and live more according to God's word, or live it better. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." How would your heart feel to realize you've been giving your assent to living contrary to the way believers are to live, all under the guise of living in the grace of God? when actually you'd been causing great embarrassment and evil speaking about the family of God. I bet that would cause you some heartburn. And then to have these ministers visit, encouraging your restoration and helping you to live according to the true grace of God would be almost unbelievable. What would you want to do to show your thankfulness? Well, the hearts of the Corinthians was to give bountifully to thank God for his blessings, and they wanted to share in this wonderful ministry that had shown them great deliverance. Coming out of their error, the reality of God's love, his care and redemption for the believing ones became very evident to them. Their hearts were enlarged at the magnanimity of God and his great forgiveness. They had a burning desire to contribute for the outreach of the ministry which had helped them, and it was right and proper. But a year went by, and they did not carry out their heart decision to give. Here in verse 10, it says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also was forward a year ago. Now, perform therefore the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." The 1881 Bible reads, "out of that which you are able." Love's response requires some kind of act to bring everything to a conclusion. For the wholeness of heart, it needs love's response. Whether it's in the fulfillment of giving a gift or simply a thank you, love requires a response. And if we seek wholeness of heart, it really requires our best. In one of the cities in which we lived, through our ministering together, my wife and I grew close to a wealthy couple. An invitation to dinner from them might include a limo ride to one of the top restaurants in town. It blessed them to give their best. And while we could not afford to equal the financial outlay, we were able to always bless them with our best. Well, God wanted the Corinthians to be whole of heart. They needed to fulfill their sacred duty they had committed themselves to do, to prove the sincerity or the genuine origin of their love. I'm sure it's probably happened to you at one time or another. Someone's birthday or some occasion was coming up and you bought a gift that you were planning to give to someone and somehow you kept forgetting it. And that gift that would have relieved your heart now becomes a burden to your heart. So Paul just wants to get unburdened so that they can be whole of heart and move ahead with the things of God. In the Old Testament, the tithe was 10% of the first fruits, meaning the best off of the top as love's response. If you went to a restaurant, were provided with a sumptuous meal, with excellent service, would you try to figure out how you could avoid paying the tip? Now, you would give generously and willingly to respond to the quality of the care for you and your guests. Well, as sons of God, under the law of love in Christ Jesus, how much should we give? Well, how willingly and generously did Jesus Christ give for our benefit? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 encourages us, "Every man, according as he purposes in his own heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." As true believers, ones beloved of God, are we allowing our heart to grow and increase? What is our response to God's love? What should be love's response? When it comes to God, the things of God, your personal desire to reach to others with his word, what would be the preference of your heart? What would you like to see occur with God's word? What are you willing to give to advance the kingdom of God? According as every man purposes in his own heart. Well, our hearts should increase with joyfulness. Our hearts should increase with love, and we should give according to the purposes of our heart. Throughout your time in His Word, while receiving comfort, encouragement, peace, and inspiration, has your heart grown larger? Prove the sincerity of your love and give accordingly. In doing that, you will prove Him. As it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." You know, I've heard people say, that church is getting rich off of those people. Well, that's what people say. But God's Word says He will open you the windows of heaven. He will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He will enable you to abound unto every good work that profits now and in the future. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Be cheerful and give from an unburdened heart. Prove the genuine origin of your love and advance the kingdom of God.
We'll be right back to our message in a moment. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about Lawrence Panarello's new book, The True Justice of a Just God. Alejandra Vernon, a top 25 reviewer for Amazon.com, calls it an inspiring work that will fill you with hope and love. Exquisitely written, it has a simplicity and graceful beauty in its style that is a rarity in this age. It is a joy to read, not only for the power of its thoughts, but also for the words chosen to express them. If you would like to order a copy, a link is provided at our website, www.myinternetchapel.org. If you're being blessed by the good news shared by Beloved of God Ministries and would like to support our global mission, we thankfully receive your tax-deductible gifts and contributions through our website or by mail at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. If you've missed our contact information, it will be repeated at the close of our broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, here's Lawrence Panarello.
What have we done, and what are we doing to advance the kingdom of God? There's a record in Luke 17 that I wish to share with you. However, to understand its depth, we must pick up the context, which actually begins in Luke 15. The Pharisees and scribes began criticizing Jesus' ministry upon seeing many publicans and sinners that were being drawn to Him. In Luke 15, verses 3 through 7, "And He, Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." To repent is to make a complete change in the direction of one's mind. not only to forsake sin, but then to change the direction of one's life and one's thoughts. I was watching Olympic swimmers practice their flip turns in a pool. As they approached the end of one of the lengths, they rolled under and kicked off the wall and headed in the opposite direction without losing a stroke of momentum. The team had an experienced coach whose instructions they sought to guide them to the gold medal. I suppose the scribes and Pharisees did not see any need to repent. Perhaps they reasoned if they had on the uniform, did the ritual warm-ups, they were assured a medal. Jesus speaks to his disciples about advancing the kingdom of God in Luke 17, beginning in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by or immediately, when he is come from the field, go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I imagine not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Unprofitable doesn't mean they were worthless. It just means you haven't really advanced anything. If I buy an item for resale for $1, I really haven't realized a profit until I receive back more than the purchase price. Remember the record in Matthew 25 of the parable of the talents? The one servant took his master's talent and buried it. He accused the master of being unjust, and for fear that he would be punished, he buried the talent and did not advance the kingdom. He forfeited his blessing. The parable goes on to show that the master truly was gracious and a rewarder to those who did well. Well, neither is our master unjust. He has given us great spiritual gifts and abilities. We should rejoice in his goodness and work diligently to advance his kingdom. In Luke 17, verse 11, it says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that they were cleansed as they went. During his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus and his apostles met 10 leprous men as they were entering into a village. The lepers stood afar off, as according to the law. They then called on Jesus for mercy or to take pity on them. They had a need that exceeded the scope of nature. It surpassed scientific discovery and development and reached beyond the helping hands of human kindness. Where else could they have gone for help? The Talmud prescribes that they stay 100 paces away, about 300 feet. But you see, all their religion provided was distance from the healthy. But the kingdom of God had come nigh unto them. Jesus told them, go and show themselves to the priests, which was a promise that they would be healed and that they could fulfill the law. This record shows us that as they went, they were cleansed. In verse 15 through 19, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He headed for the other end of the pool, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He gave love's response, and he was a Samaritan. He didn't even have the right uniform. But who do you think will get the medal at the stand? And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Although 10 lepers were cleansed, only one returned love's response. One heart repented. One heart made its flip turn, and that heart was made whole. The kingdom of God advanced one heart that day, and there was great rejoicing in heaven. Verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in you. The time for rejoicing in the kingdom of God is now. Now is the time of our wholeness, and now is the time of advancing the kingdom of God. Truly, this is our hour to requite God's love. Let's give love's response.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.